Oh, Hare Krishna, I want to greet all of the devotees who are here and gently with us together, and also the many devotees who are seeing us online. I don't actually know how many of you are there, but I want to welcome all of you very affectionately. I received today an email letter from Vrindavan, and it was a god brother who wrote to me that he will drive today from Vrindavan town to the Govardhan mountain, and he will go on parikrama around Giriraj. He said he wanted to visit the little forest which the Indian government gave to us to take care of. And then he said, I heard you're building a retreat center, and I want to visit the retreat center, and I want to ask you, is it possible that I become a neighbor? He heard that on the retreat center we build many small little cottages called bhajan kutiyas for devotees who want to go on retreat, and he said, can I become your neighbor? Can I also be in that? And as he was writing about his visit to Govardhan, as he was writing about the forest around Govardhan, there's a very nice forest now, and as he was writing about the retreat center, I remembered my time, which seems to be so far away now. Really, when you the name Dham means resplendent, it is full of light, and it is an area which is clearly in a different reality. It is so different from this place called the West, and the difference which you experience is that here in the West, the three modes of material nature are very active in influencing the consciousness, either in covering it or in making it just very, very condensed, you can say it. It draws the consciousness together like a ball, iron ball. But when you come to Vrindavan, you experience really an opening of the consciousness, a widening of the heart, a widening or broadening of your perspective, and especially in terms of being close to Krishna. Like here, it seems you almost have to make an effort to remember Krishna. There, no matter what effort you make to forget Krishna, Krishna is there. You know, it's a very interesting experience. Srila Prabhupada described Vrindavan as a place which gives you an impetus and a push to remember Krishna. It's like something which is there in the atmosphere. And today I was reminded of Vrindavan in a very nice and sweet way. And I'm very happy that I received such an email. Because the moment you are actually reminded in a real way of Vrindavan, you somehow seem to be there also. That's another thing about Vrindavan. It's, when you remember Vrindavan, when you remember the Holy Dham, somehow just thinking of the Holy Dham brings you there. It's a very, very spiritual place. I want to talk today a little bit about Kirtan, and I want to talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to one of his devotees, who was something like a fatherly figure for him. And would like to start now. Please join me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Srinivasani Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Hari Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Nowadays kirtan has become very popular, not only in our movement, but you will find when you search for kirtan in the internet many people who have discovered the real kirtan. Even in a magazine, American magazine called Psychology Today, where there is discussion of psychology, there is a statement which says only 12 minutes of kirtan is equal to 3 hours of meditation. And they go on describing that there is a herb called ginger, we know that also ingwer, which is reported to remove toxins from the body when it is taken in big in some quantity, but not really big. And they say kirtan is like the ginger for the mind, because just like ginger removes toxins from the body, kirtan removes contaminations and troubles from the mind. So you can see, even the world has, let me say, discovered the benefits of kirtan. But uh, mm, mm, they have discovered the it in a limited way, I would say. There is a discussion in our scriptures about the benefits of kirtan in relationship to the benefits of meditation, which tells us a lot about the power which good kirtan can have. This discussion takes place in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where you have the spiritual searcher. I don't think this is the best way to explain Gop Kumar, but where you have the soul who is on his way to his spiritual perfection, reach some part of the spiritual world called the Vaikuntha planets, and there he meets the messengers of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas, and hears how they discuss with Lord Shiva what is the best way to evoke full God realization. That's the question which they discuss. What is really the best way? It's almost if in our circles I would say, you are all great devotees of the Lord, you are practicing. Tell me a little bit from your experience, what do you do, what is the best way to bring about God realization? I think when you ask the Hare Krishna devotee who hears from morning every morning the scriptures, he would quickly know the answer. But if you would ask him personally, tell me your own realization, he would be a little careful. He would maybe not be so convinced, because we all know Krishna is very difficult to attain. So what is the most efficient way for God realization? This is the question. And the Vishnu Dutas say, we think kirtan is the most excellent form of spiritual practice. And they say it is better even than meditation, because meditation is a little difficult because our mind is so restless usually. But kirtan is wonderful because it grabs not only the voice, but after grabbing the voice, it grabs the mind and the sense of hearing. Also, kirtan is best because it doesn't only help the person who does kirtan, it helps even those who are around him. Let us consider these arguments. Meditation, which is so popular nowadays, is working with the mind. And the mind, as it is known, is quite restless, and it is very stubborn. It does not always wish to accept a new way of thinking. It remains the same. And it is dependent on the mind, which is turbulent by its nature. So if you want to enter real meditation, that is, if you want to bring the functions of the mind to an to absolute peace, you face a ferocious enemy, a very difficult. Kirtan, however, is not dependent on the purity of the mind. Meditation is very much dependent on the purity of the mind. Kirtan works from outside in. Because you have to use your voice, and you hear yourself singing, it engages two very powerful senses of yours, the voice and the ear. And from there, after using the voice and the ear, it begins to work on your mind, and it arrests and finally controls the mind. So in Kirtan, Krishna dances first on the tongue, and then from there he enters through the oral channel into the heart and begins to pervade the heart. And therefore the Vishnu Dutas say it's much better suited for purification. This is also the argument of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami asks, what is better, japa or kirtan? And he says, good japa is dependent on the purity of the mind. The mind should be still when you do japa. Maybe you know this from your own practice. I know many of you do regular japa, and you know sometimes it seems to be so difficult to be focused in the japa, because the mind is there and it is full with the issues of the day and the disturbances or the happinesses which are there. It's fully occupied. But when you do kirtan, you have the power of the sound vibration. Absolutely independent from the mind and the state of the mind, and it immediately controls and pervades the mind. So therefore kirtan is even ranked as a higher practice than japa. No? And you follow the arguments of Jiva Goswami and yes, of the Vishnu Dutas. They say the first argument, it's not dependent on the difficult to control mind. Second argument is because it takes the senses, first the senses, and then it controls the mind, it's better. And the third is, it's a rhetorical question. What is better, if I eat alone my meal, or if I distribute my meal to all those who are around me? I think I'm known as a charitable man if I say, Muniraj, you look hungry. Konya Bihari, you look hungry. Gaur Krishna, although you are the best of cooks, you look hungry. Come, I have a meal. Join me and take. So this is kirtan. You invite people to also hear the holy name and experience the benefit of the holy name in terms of controlling the mind. I told the children today a story which I had heard. It's about an Australian Kelpie dog who he was in a community of young men, and the community didn't appreciate his presence, so they asked the devotees, when they gave a program in the community, if they would take their dog. And the devotees said, well, we also are not so much into dogs. But they said, if he comes voluntarily into our bus, then we can take him along. So this dog, when he heard this, entered the bus, and he drove with the bus to the farm community. When he arrived, he was given immediately initiation. His name was Hare Rama. And he was extraordinary. He stayed outside of the brahmachari ashram, he slept on the shoes of the brahmacharis, and when they woke up, he went with them to the temple. The moment the conch shell blew, Hare Rama would howl in unison, being deeply moved by sattvika ecstasies at the sound of the conch shell. And he became so extraordinary that he paid his obeisances to all arriving devotees who came to the farm. Imagine a dog paying obeisances. That's without training, you know, he just did it. And the devotees thought, well, this is the effect of the holy name, you know. It controls the mind of even Hare Rama, the Kalpi dog, you know. So the holy name is therefore celebrated in the scriptures. Sanatana Goswami writes an interesting commentary. He says, if one hears about Krishna, the mind becomes when he hears about Krishna, Krishna stays in the consciousness a little bit. He is as if he is bound by a thin thread. But since Krishna is so independent and restless, he immediately escapes. That is like when I would talk to you now about Krishna for a long time. After some time, he would leave your consciousness because the concentration is weak in Kali Yuga. But by meditation, he becomes bound a little bit more. We would make a meditational exercise, and you would be open for the exercise and would not think it is unnecessary, but you would really meditate and do something with you could hold Krishna a little longer in your heart. But by kirtan, Sanatana Goswami says, the Lord becomes bound as if he is bound by an iron chain. He's there. I think in our kirtan we should try to experience this, that we stay for a long time with Krishna as we do kirtan. Jiva Goswami therefore quotes in the Bhakti Sandarbha a scripture. He says, if you cannot fix your mind on Krishna, who has this problem? That he tries to think of Krishna for quite some time, but it's just not staying there. No, Krishna leaves and leaves and leaves. If you can't fix your mind on Krishna, then shamelessly chant his names day and night. Stay alone. Be fearless. And conquer your tendency to sleep. Don't pay attention to the desires which come in your mind and which will try to pull you away from chanting, and remain fixed on the goal. Control your eating and be peaceful in spirit, and know his names will bring you loving attraction to Krishna. My dear devotees, I'm personally I'm very, very convinced of this. I must tell you, I'm very determined in this life to try to think of Krishna as much as possible. I do not want to think like an ordinary person. It's so uninteresting and so boring for me. But it is, how do you say, I find it difficult to think always of Krishna. How will I think of him? What exactly will I think of? What quality and so on? I don't know. I'm not so talented. But the scriptures tell again and again that if you who want to think of Krishna and who want to be in God's presence, if you learn to chant day and night the holy names, then your mind is going in this direction. And I must tell you, I believe in this statement of the scriptures, and I try to do to train my mind in this way. So this is coming, this conviction, from statements like the one which I read to you.
Can you tell me where I can find the text?
The text is in the Bhakti Sandarbha 206, Anuchetya 263. If you like, I can read it again for you. If your mind cannot be fixed on the Supreme Lord Achyuta, then shamelessly, you know, don't think, oh, I will be criticized for this. Shamelessly chant his names day and night. Stay alone. Be fearless and conquer your sleep. Be indifferent to your many desires and remain fixed on the goal. You want to chant day and night. Control your eating. I mean, that we all know when we eat. When we overdose on halava and gulab jamins, that's very dangerous for chanting. And be peaceful in your spirit. And know his names will bring you eventually loving attraction for Krishna. So this is the case which the Vishnu Dutas make when they are asked what is the most sublime process for evoking God realization. They say, in Kali Yuga we should go through the holy name which will capture the mind which is restless by first capturing the voice and the ears, and who will then start to pervade the mind and make it peaceful so that real remembrance of Krishna can take place. This is this the idea. I want to now sing a song with you before I will enter discuss a little bit how to chant. There is a very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur which you can please take. It is Sri Krishna Kirtane. It's a very, very nice song. It says, if you absorb your mind in singing about Krishna with great care, then you will, by the process of Sri Krishna Kirtan, attain transcendental qualification. But the text also, we wrote it to you, we gave it to you in German language because many of you are here German speaking. I want to give this as a present for you. It's a very sweet translation. The translation is made by a very modern devotee who knows a lot about modern words, and I think you will like this very much. It's about developing the qualification to chant always. Bhaktivinoda Thakur really lists in the song four qualities. You can read it in your own time, maybe before you go to rest. He says, you must feel some humility in your heart. That's something in relationship to you. It is said, in spiritual life, there's one thing you always should forget, and there's another thing you should always remember. What you should forget is your so-called material successes. They are happening by Krishna's mercy. It's not that you are the cause. What you should remember is that you are a soul who is dependent on Krishna. So forget how great you are, and remember that you are dependent. That you should always remember. Then you are safe. You should develop compassion to others. You know, be kind to others. You should develop respect, and you should not be so greedy to be famous and known and honored by others. And when you have these four qualities, you can always sing the Krishna's holy name. So we will sing this now. I think I would like to ask Gaur Krishna to sing. Yeah? We can put the microphones to Gaur Krishna.
Satsang with Mooji. Yeah.
What I very much like about this particular song is that it asks you a question, or it gives you an instruction. It says, if you really wish that your mind becomes absorbed in singing the glories of Krishna, then do everything which you can do in order to obtain the qualification for doing this. I remember my father once told me that when he and his colleagues were in the Russian, when they were prisoners of war, during the German-Russian confrontation during the Second World War, there was a little group in the prison who was preparing an escape. And to do this, they received money from Germany and the means. I do not really know what it was, leather, where it letters, or where it dress, because they needed to go through the harsh Russian winter and escape. But there was a lot of preparation for planning this escape and going back to Germany, and they only accepted within this little group people whom they thought were qualified. For instance, one qualification was those who were in this group of escaping and going back to Germany had to be team players. They couldn't be selfish, that I don't care for the rest of the group, I just want to escape on my own, because if they wouldn't be team players, they would pose a danger for the other people in the group. And it was known amongst some of the leading German officers that there was this little group who was planning this escape, and they eventually made the escape. It was a very difficult escape, but they could do it. And as far as I remember, my father heard about this, and then he met the people who were preparing the escape, and he said, "Can I also join you?" And they said, "What's your qualification?" We will only accept people with these qualifications. And then my father told me, because I knew I would die in that camp of the Russians, I would not survive the winter, I did everything to be in that group and to plan my escape. Now I remember that for many devotees who joined the movement for Krishna consciousness in the beginning, there was a similar motivation. We somehow were motivated by the desire to go back to Godhead, and I do remember as a you know, someone who was there from the beginning and who met the those who joined our group did really everything. They changed their dress, that changed their hairstyle, they changed their habits. They didn't smoke any longer, etc. Just because they believed that if I come and practice Krishna consciousness and bhakti, it will be good for my development. Now, I remember many, many devotees there to whom I preached and who later became joined our movement. They were, there's always this moment, okay, they say, what do I do? What do I do now? What do I have to do? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a little do list of qualifications, four qualifications, and he says if you fulfill these qualifications, then you can actually chant the holy name always and be fully Krishna conscious. That's what he says. What is his point? So I would like to stress on one qualification which Jiva Goswami mentions in the Bhakti Sandarbhas. He says it is usually very difficult to attain Krishna. And then there is a quotation which he alludes to. If you want to attain the Lord who is so difficult to attain, you have to face the sorrow of your own lowliness. This may be the most difficult thing in Kali Yuga, to accept that we are fallen or ordinary, because there is an ongoing fight for significance, for recognition, for being for excelling in the human society, for realizing my full potential, and so on. But the scriptures say if you want to attain God, you have to face the sorrow of your own lowliness. I think it's such a heavy instruction that I will say it in German, because it's difficult to really grasp it. Also, wenn du den Herrn erreichen willst, der so schwer zu erreichen ist, dann musst du dich dem Leide konfrontieren, einzusehen, dass du sehr lowly bist, also sehr nicht so aufgeblasen und so mit Dünkeln ausgestattet. And after you have done this, that is, confront your own situation, then you have to do something which is called anugatva. You have to follow a higher example like that of the gopis, the statement is. When the gopis understood Krishna was not going to be with them, he had left them in the dark forest, when they understood this, that they couldn't find Krishna on their own, they took shelter in one process. They all went on the white sand of the Yamuna, and they started to remind themselves of Krishna. They talked about Krishna and chanted his holy name. So you must, when after you have accepted that you are, after you have been able to confront that sorrow that inner suffering that, oh no, I'm separate from Krishna. I know no one wants to know, to confront this because it's so heavy, you know. Then to get out of this and not be captured in suffering, you have to follow a superior example which leads you out of this sorrowness, this lowliness. And Jiva Goswami makes the point, the spiritual life always starts in Kali Yuga when you are doing what is called Buddha Shuddhi in philosophical language, when you free yourself from the many designations, the many roles, the many masks which you wear in your ordinary conditioned life, and you come to the essence. And he says this should be easy for people in Kali Yuga because they are not so qualified. It's very easy. they have no reason to be to go into big material illusions because the reality is so much before our face. We are what we are. You know, we are walking on thin ice. Every moment something could happen where our mental sanity is in danger. You know, so it should be easy for people in Kali Yuga to be humble. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's usually when you are very unqualified, you are the first to recognize that you are very qualified. And the person who is very qualified is usually the first who says, ah, Hare Krishna, I'm sincerely trying, that's all. You can see this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, if you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and his glories, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications which are necessary to do so. Cultivate the four qualities: humility, like that of the grass; compassion, like that of a tree; do something for others; respect others; and be indifferent to worldly honors. It's not important. Bhaktivinoda cries out to the lotus feet of the Lord, when will you make me qualified to chant your holy names? Now Lord Chaitanya wanted to establish a lesson through teaching one of his very near and dear devotees. This devotee was very qualified in austerity and renunciation. His name was Shuklambara Das Brahmachari. He had gone on his foot to all the holy places in India. He had discussed with devotees, and since his life, since the beginning of his life, he was a Naishtika Brahmachari. He lived not from opulent food, but he only accepted broken rice. There are such devotees. We heard today when we ate our lunch prasadam, which was cooked by Gaur Krishna. There were 5 items at least in the lunch prasadam. Then we heard that in Vrindavan the people who are begging are considered to be very high class. They are usually, I mean, when they are good spiritual practitioners, they sing with a pair of cattle. They come before your house and sing, and then if you want, you open your door to them, and you invite them to come in. Then you give them a sitting place, a glass of water, and then You think your life is perfect because now you can serve a Vaishnava who's totally dedicated to serve Krishna. And what you do is, you give him something which he can use to cook an offering for his deities. In other words, you don't offer him ready food, but items so that he can make his own food. So there are some renunciants who are not allowed to come to the same house. They always, because they, you know, it's easy to come to the same house where you're loved and then everyone gives you bread and butter. I know if I'm really hungry, I know in this castle two addresses who will most probably give me something. But if I'm more renounced, I would not go to these two addresses, but I would make myself fully dependent on the Lord's kindness and not on the kindness of others, and just go at random to other places. So Shuklam Bharadas Brahmacharya was even more renounced than these people, because he didn't accept opulent food. He only accepted one preparation, that is the most ordinary rice, broken rice, which smells very bad usually because there are mice living in there. Oh, I don't know if you have ever smelled broken rice where mice were living. It is really not inviting. During Krishna's advent, this Shuklam Brahmachari, the special soul, was one of the wives of the Yajnik Brahmanas who fed Lord Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya remembered the previous life of Shuklam Bharadas Brahmachari. He was aware that he was Krishna. Once Lord Chaitanya went to an astrologer and said, where was I in my past life? And the astrologer looked at the chart and then chanted a mantra. First-class astrologers know that to read a chart, you need to have a guidance, and therefore they chant usually a mantra to a devata, a divine being who tells them, this means this, this means this, in detail. So this astrologer chanted his mantra, and while he chanted the mantra and looked at the chart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw there was Matsya, there was Vamanan, there was Koma. And he said, I think you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because you were Matsya, you were a Koma avatar, you were a Nrsinga avatar. Lord Chaitanya said, I think you have to chant better your mantra. Something is wrong with here. I remember in my past life I was a cowherd boy. Krishna. So Shuklam, Lord Chaitanya remembered he was Krishna. When he was very hungry, he had sent the cowherd boys to the wives of the Brahmana, who then fed him. And therefore Krishna once said, Lord Chaitanya once said to Shuklam Bharadas Brahmachari, I'm very hungry, can you please feed me? And Shuklam Bharadas said, my lord, I only have this mouse rice. That is not very good for you. You are the lord who is eating only ceremonially prepared food, yagya food, but I have only this rice which poor people give me. It's not clean. You eat on altars where this pure food is offered. How can I offer this to you? But Lord Chaitanya said, tomorrow I'm coming to your house, and then I will want to eat this rice of yours. So what could Shuklam Bharadas do? He went to his little place. It was a thatched hut at the banks of the Ganga, and he prepared the rice which Lord Chaitanya wanted so much. So on that day he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu something which was very private to him. He said, I have traveled to many holy places. I have also discussed with many holy people, and I know all the Vedic scriptures, but my heart is still restless. It is not peaceful. Maybe you also can say this in your life. I have followed this process of Krishna consciousness. I have been a strict vegetarian for many years. I have avoided almost all undesirable substances. Almost. I have really a good record. I tried my best. Who can say I have not tried? But my heart is not peaceful. No? So I think you can say that also. And he said, can you help me, please? Can you please be so kind to give me directions? And and give me love in my heart, love of Godhead. He thought like this: I went to all places of pilgrimages. I'm very qualified. I did so much. I'm a good practitioner. When Lord Chaitanya saw this, he understood. Here was a devotee who wanted the highest, who wanted love of Krishna. And he became very angry to him. He said, in the holy places there are also many dogs and jackals. Do you think you are very advanced just because you went to a holy place? Do you think because you have taken your baths every day in the Ganga, you are very pure? There are fishes who live from morning till evening in the Ganga. They are very pure. Do you think you are qualified because you have only eaten vegetarian dishes? Look at the buffalo. He also eats vegetarian. Do you think because you can meditate, you are very qualified? The crane also meditates. What makes you so special? Now this was, as we say in English language, in German language, starker Tabak. This was really strong. He was, please remember, he was very advanced. Shuklambara Das Brahmachari was very advanced. But because he wanted the highest, Lord Chaitanya could see his pride was keeping him from advancing and making that extra step into the kingdom of love. And so Shuklambara immediately saw his mistakes. He felt, oh no, I've been so proud by saying, oh, I did all this, can you now please help me? But he felt disheartened and also neglected. He cried, and in the end, he cried so much that he fainted. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke him up and he said, see, Shuklambara, I'm telling you this to bring you to the place where you can really start practicing the Yuga Dharma. And then he said, it's not by your austerities that you can reach God. It's not by your Shastric studies. It's not even by meditation. But Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Deva Deva, Kalo Vanasdeva, Nastodo Vanasdeva, Nirtiya Anyata. In this age of Kali, there's no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. And you must do this, you must do everything to become qualified to do this. He said, Lord Chaitanya said, in this age of Kali, the holy name is the incarnation, you call it Nam Avatar, of Krishna. When you chant the holy name, you therefore associate with Krishna directly. But Krishna will only stay with you if you do, if you take, if you become qualified. And and then in the end he said, and I really like this. He said, listen, Shuklambara Brahmachari, I reside permanently in your heart. Whenever you eat, I eat. When you go on your begging rounds, I accompany you. I have descended to distribute love of Godhead. And you are my servant, lifetime after lifetime. I constantly pray that you offer me something, for you have no interest in enjoying anything that has not been offered to me. It is for this reason that I have made a show of my power. I have given you a strong word, taken everything away from you, thus making you poor. Shuklamba, I hereby bestow upon you what you wanted from me, prema bhakti, which is my very soul. When the devotees heard the Lord's blessings, they made a joyful noise and they all shouted, please join me, Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
The internet people are still sleeping. Please, before your computer, chant, Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
Good. My dear devotees, there are different definitions of wealth, but Mahaprabhu gives this definition. Without the wealth of love of God, my life is full of poverty and worthless. Krishna, employ me as your servant and pay me with the coin of ecstatic love. So Krishna, I will end this now. I want to give you the essence. It is, no matter how much penance we do, how much Shastra studies we do, how much we do in our life, if we cannot say at one stage, all this is... Yes, it's nice that you that I'm doing this, but I confront the reality. I'm a soul. I'm yearning for Krishna. I'm dependent on His mercy. I'm fully in His hands. I cannot forget this. And from that position, my dear devotees, you can. Be like a rocket. You can leave the gravitational field of your false ego and come really into the real state of spiritual life. That's no longer a theory, but something which you experience every day. Good. I would like to, at the end, chant with you. We are learning a new melody. I hope we can find it. Yeah.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
everybody.
Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, I will just conclude now. I just wanted to say it was a great... This was my first, I think, my first public lecture again. I'm still a little bit in the Vrindavan atmosphere, but... what I wanted to express really, and I do not know how well I could reach you this afternoon. I saw I could not reach the children at all. I've never experienced such a defeat. So I don't know how well I did with the grown-ups. but what I wanted to show really or explain is that we all have to be careful to not get stuck on our path. Even a great soul like Shuklamba Das Brahmachari, who had the personal association of Krishna in one of his previous lives, needed to be helped by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that he could finally come on this to this place of humility. I feel very often we think humility is one of these character traits which we adopt in this world, like open-mindedness, for instance, is a character trait, or it's a skill. We sometimes think it's a skill, like communication skills and so on. So humility is one of these, but true humility really rests on a few very deeply spiritual realizations that I'm a soul who is in this world, you know, covered by the material energy. And it also, true humility is really connected with a deep longing for Krishna. The word which Sanatana Goswami uses is dainya, a feeling of lowliness or wretchedness. And the example which is given is the gopis. The gopis think, oh, look at the earth. It has the footprints of Krishna. But we are so unfortunate. We don't have the lotus feet of Krishna on us. And look at the rivers. The rivers are building whirlpools because they stop their flow so that they can take their waves and offer lotus flowers to Krishna's lotus feet. But we are not so fortunate. We can't offer anything to Krishna. And look at the clouds, even the clouds. And my dear devotees, please notice, these are all unconscious entities. But this cloud is building an umbrella to shade Krishna, but we are so far away from Krishna. And now look at these deers. The deers are standing before Krishna with their lotus eyes. They look at Krishna, and their husbands think our wives are very advanced. But if we ever go to Krishna, our husbands, they threaten to kill us. We are so unfortunate. We are so separated. So that is what that's the idea of humility. It has nothing to do with what in the West we are afraid of, you know, and what we are even getting bored to hear. It is based on a deep spiritual understanding and a deep longing. And when you can come to this place, or at least know, it is good if you come to this place, then you can start your Krishna consciousness. Then you can start on this path. It's so good that we are born in Kali Yuga because we have no reason to be proud, says Jiva Goswami. We are extremely qualified. It's easy to be qualified in Kali Yuga. Let us celebrate it. But for that, we have to be willing to face that. And that requires some inner strength. Muniraj.
This is one question, because it's a very nice point. You say to feel low and true humility. Mm-hmm. But I guess in the West, it's not very popular because people connect this with low self-esteem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they think like, okay, if you're low, then it means you all have low self-esteem. That means you slowly go into depression.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how can we maybe combine this being truly humble, but at the same time having a high self-esteem, which can be probably combined on some...
Maybe we have to do some things with the language. Maybe we have to say, be real. You know, and then everyone likes to be real. Okay, what does it mean? And then they can start to explore it. Maybe. I like very much the definition of humility given by... I forgot which philosophy is it. But it says it's a vision of reality. And humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself. It means to think of yourself less. You know, it is, you're engaged with something totally different than. I know, Muniraj,
But I'm not speaking to ordinary people from the West. I'm speaking to you, the advanced practitioners of bhakti. When you tell in the public world, you have to be humble. You have to express it differently, I think. You can say, don't identify with your labels. Things like this, you can say. Yeah, Krishna. So I wish you all the best. I think we were a little longer, but this is Vrindavan time. We are not so much on time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.